The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, gender, or body image. Thanks for being a consenting adult, because here we go.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from journalist, essayist, and author Tracy Clark Flory. Hi, friend. I wanted to update you on something I said last week on the podcast. Something has changed, and it means that you can still join me if you were hoping to hear stories from the tour. There's going to be two parts to the Dixie Ramble this week. One is a bunch of you wrote me after I announced the date for the AMA. They asked me anything that I was going to do on Patreon this past weekend. And the date didn't work for some of you, but you said you really wanted to attend. Was it possible to change the date? And I mean, the people who pipe up are the people who get results. If you're going to send me a message, that's a lot of trouble that you went to, and I'm going to do my best. It works best if people who are interested in attending actually show up. There have been times in the past where I sat there on a Zoom call and no one attended. So this felt like a safer way to ensure that I was having conversations. So the date for the Ask Me Anything, the Hear About the Tour, the Stories from the Road, whatever you want to call it, is now happening this Saturday, April 13th. At 11 a.m. Pacific time. Adapt that to whatever time you live in. I did my best to make sure it's on a weekend so that international people could join us on the Zoom and that I put it at a time where it wasn't too late or too early for different parts of the country. East Coasters, you can attend this one. And on this call, I'm going to talk to you about things like, what is it like driving cross-country in a 12-year-old van with expired tags? What was my favorite story from the tour? What was my favorite city of the tour? How many miles did I travel? And maybe you can join and tell us, you know, if it was your 100th body, how nice it was since you moved across the country during the pandemic, you actually got to see a live show again. Or if this was your first ever body, how great it was to be there in the room. Or how terrible. I don't know. You listen to a podcast. It could have been totally different than you expected. But I love learning. And I love knowing that stuff. So this is a conversation. And speaking of conversation, I got a lot of emails from people who wanted to tell me their story. So I have a folder called Fan Mail. And I usually read the stories. I love to wake up in the morning, fix my coffee, sit down and read the emails that are waiting in my inbox. And honestly, these are my favorites because you tell me about your life. And I mean, I went into storytelling. I love hearing stories about your life. So here's one that I got from Charles. Hello, Dixie. I've been a fan of your podcast for quite some time now, though I admit I'm a bit behind. I'm currently on an episode from October 1st, 2022. Time flies faster than I realized. Your voice, incredibly soothing and comforting, has a unique way of making my day better. Inspired by the tales you share, I've been encouraged to delve into self-exploration, my interests, and areas that I've never previously considered. For that, I owe you my gratitude. Living in Southwest Missouri, I've caught wind of your potential tour plans. If they're not already finalized, I'd suggest considering Springfield and/or Kansas City as potential stops. They're vibrant cities that I believe would warmly welcome your show. Despite my long-standing desire to attend a live recording, the distance to California or New York has always been a barrier. I just wanted to express my appreciation for your work and the impact you've had on me. Your authenticity and openness are qualities I admire and aspire to emulate. Wasn't that nice? Since Charles is back in 2022, it's going to be a while before Charles gets an answer to that comment. And since I'm a talker, I figured I could answer it here on the Dixie Ramble and let y'all know I really did try and do St. Louis, which is not that far from Kansas City. I mean, I would have been guessing before. It's farther than I thought it was. But when you get to the flyover states, as they so rudely call them, you know, you've got to pick a spot. And this one seemed to be a place that a lot of people would come in for. I worked with a huge event space that had locations in so many different cities. And one of them was in St. Louis. And I tried to do a show in that area, but it just never came together. I couldn't get them to book a date with me. And honestly, that's what it's like. You know, venues are the hardest part. People ask me, why did you choose this city versus that city? It's where I got a venue. And the venue never came together for that part of the country. Charles, when you listen to this in about a year and a half, you'll get an answer to your question. Hopefully I'll get to answer questions like that in a more timely fashion on the Stories from the Road thing that I'm going to do on Patreon this coming Saturday. And remember, any level of Patreon. So just join me. Let's have a conversation. Tell me stories. I'll tell you mine. I've got a great one from the tour that I've been telling my friends and they love it. So I think I'm going to finally share it with y'all. It's coming soon. And that'll be this Saturday, April 13th. I hope you show up because I'd love to see your face. This week, the Body Podcast is sponsored by Lumi Whole Body Deodorant, which makes me very happy. And you'll be happy because I'm about to tell you how to save over 40% off the Lumi Starter Pack. I'm excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant because it's my favorite deodorant, and it's the only one I use. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your privates and all the way down to your feet. The OBGYN doctor who invented Lumi and her game-changing whole-body deodorant has already earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me. Lumi's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. It's baking soda free, it's paraben free, it's pH balanced for safe use everywhere. Sure, there's drugstore deodorants that are there for your armpits, but what about your thigh folds, your belly button, your butt crack, your vulva, and everywhere else? Lumi is seriously safe for use anywhere on your body. Pits, underboobs, thighs, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulva, feet. I especially use it for my underboob because, yeah, but I use it everywhere else. And it comes in fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, toasted coconut, lavender sage, and more. I've tried them all, and they all smell great. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It's how I got addicted to Lumi. The starter pack comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And remember, as a special offer for Body listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code DIXIE at LumiDeodorant.com. That's spelled L-U-M-E. That equates to 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code Dixie. And there's a link in this episode's show notes. I have a couple of things coming up soon that I want to make sure you know about. I have a class called Storytelling to Get the Sex You Want that I taught during the pandemic, and I've been revamping it. I wanted to make sure you knew that it's coming up soon. The date is not set yet, but it's a great way for you to figure out how to connect with people while online dating. I've been doing online dating lately, and it's like if I get one more was up, does that work for anybody? That's not going to work. You really need to know how to connect with people and, you know, doing it online is not the easiest thing. So I have different ways for you to use storytelling to connect with people so that you can actually do what you're there for, which is meet someone. Also, I've got ways to gamify storytelling so that you can have fun while you're doing it. I hate the word gamify, but it, you know, it's not a class. It's a way to find a way to make it fun and interactive. So that's coming up soon. And I also am very close to announcing the dates for my next classes for How to Be Fascinating and How to Be Bawdy. Online and in person. Two different ways to do it. So make sure you subscribe at bawdystorytelling.com/subscribe and you'll be the first to find out when those classes open up. I've had this storyteller on my stage twice. Once on my physical stage and once in my virtual stage, which is the story you're going to hear this week. So let me tell you about the storyteller. Tracy Clark Flory is a journalist, essayist, and author of the memoir Want Me, A Sex Writer's Journey into the Heart of Desire, published by Penguin in 2021, and it's an NPR Best Book of the Year. The New York Times bestselling author Rebecca Traister called Want Me intimate, challenging, and so very smart. It's a gift. Peggy Orenstein, author of the New York Times bestseller Girls and Sex, loved that book, called it crucially important. Clark Flory has written for Cosmopolitan, Elle, Esquire, Glamour, The Guardian, and The Washington Post, just to name a few. She is a former senior staff writer at Jezebel and Salon. Her work has shown up in the best sex writing anthology, and she has been called one of the best journalists of our generation writing about sexuality. She publishes a weekly newsletter on sex, feminism, motherhood, and pop culture at tracyclarkflory.substack.com, and I subscribe to it, so I recommend it. This storyteller is Tracy Clark Flory.
So I guess I'm going to find out if I'm really into erotic humiliation tonight because I'm following Margaret Cho in a storytelling event. But it's cool. I got this. It's fine. So picture for me, if you will. I'm in my bedroom. I was 4 months pregnant with a swollen belly and a desire to get off. There was a vibrator in my hand, a deranged gangbang in my mind, and a comforter tented over my knees. And then a voice popped into my head. You can't think about that, you're pregnant. So I lifted up the vibrator, I let it buzz emptily like an idling car, and then I turned to the slides of my recurrent fantasies, those things that just reliably do it for me. All right, glory hole, casting couch, creepy monsieur, dick-sucking frat boys. I kept switching slide to slide, finding each one kind of untenable in my expectant state. And then I was back to the original gangbang image. Five men, middle-aged, beer bellies, tiny dicks, sheen of sweat on their brows. And they were grabbing and prodding hungrily at my body. They wanted my body. And then I remembered, right, my body, I'm pregnant. Because the me in my fantasy was not occupied by a rapidly growing fetus. And so I remembered, I'm pregnant, and there was the voice, you can't think about that, you're pregnant. And that's what the early days of pregnancy were like for me. Pregnancy came down on my body like the thought police. And I'd been having sex with my husband, Christopher, but it had been pretty vanilla, some missionary, some cowgirl. It had been kind of back to basics during the nausea and total exhaustion of the first trimester. But nothing too wild, nothing that challenged this emerging identity of mom. But then my belly kept growing and growing. And as it grew, the prohibition on my fantasies grew proportionally into reality and into my sex life, which is how I found myself midway through my pregnancy having sex with Christopher. It was a weekend afternoon. We tossed our clothes all over the bedroom. The light was streaming in the window, illuminating his handsome face. He looks like a less tattooed Adam Levine. I was really feeling him. I was into it. And then I heard this horrifying sound, this slap, 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 slap. And I realized it was the sound of his flat stomach colliding with my pregnant belly. And I was pretty sure I'd never encountered a greater boner killer, which was that there was a fetus announcing itself basketball-like in between our bodies. And the thing, though, is I'm not sure whose boner I was concerned about deflating, because he really didn't care. Christopher didn't care. He had taken to touching my pregnant belly, no big deal. And I had to ask him, like, are you into this pregnancy thing? And he's like, no, it's just like another one of your curves. It's just part of your body. And I told him, God, you're so pure. Your sexuality is so wholesome. Where I was finding it impossible to get hot for myself. And so I did what I occasionally do as a journalist who writes about sex. And I channeled my obsessions, preoccupations, hangups, neuroses into an article. And I knew there was this genre of pregnancy porn. And I found that on a leading clip site, pregnancy or pregnant was the second most searched term. And then I interviewed a whip-wielding dominatrix who smacked her co-stars around with her belly, and a cam performer who would look into the camera and moan about turning into a fat, pregnant cow. And I would ask some of these performers, a little too pleadingly, probably, what does it mean to be a sexy pregnant woman? And in one case, the silence that I was met with was so complete, I had to check that the line was still connected. Because it's like my interview subjects didn't understand the question, because to them, what wasn't sexy about a pregnant woman? Glowing vitality, amplified curves. On the kinkier end, there were all of the anxieties that some straight men have about pregnant women, whether it's uncertainty about paternity or just the power to generate life. And all of that could be eroticized. And so I watched as a performer looked in her webcam and she said, "You didn't get me pregnant. A real man did." And I started to get this sense of sexiness that was creeping in. And it was partly talking to these performers. It wasn't that I was going to suddenly turn to Christopher and say, "You didn't get me pregnant. A real man did," because I did not think that was going to go over well with him. But I was inspired by their creativity and their confidence off screen and on. And at the same time, I was finding that biology was intervening. Hormones were just flooding my body. And people love to talk about pregnant women's hunger, the late night trips to the grocery store for ice cream and pickles, but they don't talk about that other kind of hunger, which is brain-melting horniness. And I found myself multiple times a day padding barefoot into my bedroom to pull out the Hitachi from my bedside. And I eventually just left it plugged in at the ready perpetually. I felt like my whole body was this network of ungrounded nerve endings. Orgasms were easy, they were instant, effortless, multiple, limitless. And the subject of pregnant sex came up with a friend one day, and I found myself confiding, "Best sex of my life?" And I said it with a question mark, even though it was a fact, because I found it so surprising. And at the same time, I was falling in love with this new form of mine. I turned to Christopher one night and I said, I'm kind of obsessed with my body. And he said, join the club. But I hadn't been looking for his validation. I'd been standing in the mirror in my beige, stretched out maternity underwear, turning this way and that, checking myself out. And I realized that not since puberty had I spent so much time in front of the mirror and so much time just in total awe of my body. It felt like there was this reproductive script that had just kind of taken over, and there was something sexy about that. And I started seeing sex less as through this imaginary camera lens, less about how it looked and more about how it felt. And I stopped running my fantasies by the thought police. And so I found myself again, eventually, in my bedroom, this time very pregnant, with a vibrator and a wish to get off, with a comforter tented over my knees, and thinking of a gangbang again. And there were those five men with beer bellies and tiny dicks and a sheen of sweat, and they were grabbing and prodding, and they hungrily wanted my body. And this time, the body on the screen of my mind was my body. It was my pregnant body, 8 months pregnant. And what of it? And then I turned to the recurrent slides of fantasy. All right, glory hole, casting couch, creepy monsieur, dick-sucking frat boys. And I kept switching and switching, but this time not because each one seemed inappropriate in my pregnant state, but because I couldn't choose. They were all so good. And so now it seemed that this sense of sexual possibility instead of prohibition had expanded proportionally with my belly. And I found this voice pop into my head. And it said, you can think about that. Who cares if you're pregnant?
If I tell you my dirty little secret, will you promise to guard and keep it on the down low? It might change the way you think of me, I know. But if we're being honest, here I go. I'm attracted to a certain kind of female that's beautiful, comparable to no other. It's only fair that I share with you the detail that pretty soon that type will be a mother. It's not transmittable like a dog bite passes rabies. I'm just so turned on by a woman full of babies. She's all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. She's with child and curvy, guess that makes me kinda pervy, yeah, I get it. Pregnant women are so sexy, there, I said it. It's got nothing to do with the bun that's in the oven. Rest assured, I'm not some weird molester. It's about the glow, the confidence that I'm loving. And I like kids between the first and third trimester. Her effervescence makes me feel less like a cynic. Nothing makes me too messent like a prenatal clinic. She's all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. Makes me a sweaty brown wiper, makes me wanna wear a diaper and then wet it. Ugh, pregnant women are so sexy, there, I said it. Their hair and skin shine and it's softer than silk. Maternal maidens made of similar ilk. And if I get a peek at when they're making all that milk, I might explode. Oh, she make my water break, and I should be ashamed of myself, but I'm not. If that's your wife, your girl, your surrogate, or lover, I'm not the only one to think she's yummy. I mean no disrespect, I'm no dummy. I think pregnant women should be respected because they face the pressure of not only carrying, but delivering, nursing, and nurturing, and raising another human being, which is an instinctually natural process, also riddled with self-doubt, financial expectations, worry, pressure, selfless, muted ambivalence, and also boobs and butts and a big round tummy. It might be wrong, it might come off as naughty, but show me a woman who's showing, and I'll show you a hottie. Oh, all knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She's expecting, I'm erecting. She's gonna be a mommy, that's why I'm touching my salami. No, 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 no. Pregnant women are so sexy, there, I said it one more time. All knocked up, what a knockout, belly popping out, that's what I'm talking about. She'll be lactating, I'll be masturbating. Hey there, good looking, said what you got cooking. Oh yeah, baby, wow, that's a lady, that's a full of baby, a rootskadoo. Her little waddle turns my throttle, vroom, vroom, vroom. Pregnant women, this one's for you. And I really hope that she had an orgasm too.
Love that song from our favorite pregnancy fetishist. That was Dirty Little Secret from Body's Own, our beloved Jefferson Berge. I'm excited to be back home, and I'm starting to create new content for Patreon. Patreon is where you can get the most body. All the things you want, the behind-the-scenes stories, the personal stories, the interviews with sex-positive luminaries, and more. And if you support us on Patreon or join right now, this week I am going to have an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, and I'll be telling stories from my cross-country tour and the travel that involved so many miles all by myself. Think about that. No support, just me traveling in a minivan. There's a lot of stories. I'd love for you to be there. So support me on Patreon. There's a link in the episode. And I'll see you on Sunday, April 7th. I'm putting it on a weekend so that I can be sure that my international fans can be there to join me live. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y, and it's a way to provide ongoing support to the things that you love, that you do not want to go away, like this podcast. I spend money to podcast. I do not make money off this podcast unless you support me. If Patreon's not your thing, I also have Cash App and PayPal and Venmo and Zelle. And there's a link in the show notes for those as well. I'd love to see you next Sunday. And either way, thank you for considering supporting this podcast. You're going to help me defray the cost of producing it. And that's a big fucking deal. So thanks. So you know how last week I asked you if you could write a review for this podcast because I hadn't had one in quite a while. I mean, I did stop podcasting for 3 months. Well, Celeste did. Celeste, thank you for the review. And I'm going to read it to all of you so that you can be inspired to do it too, because podcast reviews, that is what I need. That is what ensures that I'm going to keep doing this, because podcasting is a lot of work. So here's what Celeste had to say. 5 stars, entertaining and enlightening podcast. This is the juiciest podcast in my feed. I thoroughly enjoy every episode of Body Storytelling. The stories are obviously from the heart and the production value is high. Dixie does an amazing job of story coaching. Thank you for that review. And I hope it inspired you to write me a review. That one was on Apple Podcasts. You can do it wherever you can write a review for this podcast. But it makes a huge deal in my life, and I'd really, really appreciate you doing that. Thanks in advance for doing that. And also thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to David Grossoff, Mosa Maxwell-Smith, Donal Mooney, podcast producer Roman Den Houdeker, and you. Thanks for listening. Share it with a friend. Tell people about this. Word of mouth is the number one way that people discover podcasts. There's no TV ads for it. They can't figure out how do they find what they like. Well, they like you, and you have good taste. So share this podcast with somebody. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delator. This has been episode 288 of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. Thanks for listening.